The Kaaba comes alive. In the name of God, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Salam, dear listeners, and heartiest congratulations to you all on a very special day. Today is the auspicious 13th of Rajab, the day on which the Holy Kaaba, the symbolic house of God, the unseen but omnipresent, came alive exactly a millennium, 4 centuries, and 68 lunar years ago, with the birth in its holiest center of the person who happens to be the second of the most perfect ever creations of the Lord Most High. In other words, today is the blessed birthday of the Imam, every single moment of whose 63-year lifespan was spent in the service of the one and only Creator of the universe, as a mirror of divine attributes for the guidance of mankind. To be more precise, the 13th of Rajab is the day of coming into the transient world of the barometer of belief, the fulcrum of faith, the paragon of piety, the paradigm of patience, the key of knowledge, the wizard of wisdom, the touchstone of truth, the criterion of courage, the model of magnanimity, the mirror of munificence, the epitome of eloquence, and the judicator of justice, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace upon him, the divinely designated vicegerent of the Almighty's last and greatest messenger to all mankind, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Before we present you an exclusive feature in this regard, listen to Ayah 96 of Surah Ali Imran, in which Allah Almighty informs us of the significance of the Holy Kaaba. Indeed, the first house to be set up for mankind is the one at Baqa, blessed and a guidance for all nations. Built by the father of mankind, Adam, as the first ever structure on planet Earth, in order to serve as the focal point of worship of the one and only Creator, the Kaaba, or the cube-shaped edifice in Mecca, had suffered damage during the great flood of the days of Prophet Noah and lay in dilapidated state for several centuries until the all-wise God ordered Prophet Abraham and his firstborn son, Prophet Ishmael, to rebuild this supreme symbol of monotheism. The Lord Most High knew that pagan Arabs would pollute it with idols, so he decreed its thorough cleansing by the Prophet of Islam and Imam Ali, peace upon him, who delivered the final blow to idolatry in Mecca in 8 AH by pulling down from atop the Kaaba, the chief Arab deity, Hubal, and say, O Muhammad, the truth has come and falsehood has vanished. Indeed, falsehood is bound to vanish. These words of Almighty Allah, as stated in Ayah 81 of Surah Isra, were on the lips of the seal of messengers when he raised Imam Ali, peace upon him, on his shoulders to topple the idols. Today, on the blessed anniversary of the memorable 13th of Rajab, it would be repetitive to recount the miraculous parting of a section of the wall of the Holy Kaaba for the monotheist lady of the Hashemite clan, Fatima bint Asad, and the miraculously closing of the same as she stepped inside, to the utter bewilderment of the pagan Arabs. 4 days later, the same miraculous spectacle occurred when the lady stepped outside with a radiant boy in her arms, while nearby stood in expectation the newborn's father, Abu Talib, along with his 30-year-old nephew, who had not yet announced his universal mission of Islam. Only God knows what transpired between the two cousins when their eyes met each other with the smiles on their lips. No wonder the Prophet used to say, "Oh, Ali, your position is like that of the Kaaba." What could be said of the person, the praise of whom the celestial angels chant and the writing of whose merits exhaust ink and paper? Born in the house of God and martyred while in communion with his creator in the great mosque of Kufa, also a house of God, with his face turned towards that very site of his birth, the holy Kaaba, Imam Ali, peace upon him, is the personification of Islam. To quote his own words, "When I was a young child, the Prophet took care of me. He would bring me to his chest, and I would sleep in his bed, so close to him that I could even smell his scent. He would chew food for me and then feed me with it. He found no lies in my speech, nor any shortcomings in my actions." As a boy, the Imam stood beside his mentor, chasing away the kids who used to throw stones at the Prophet. He endured in the gorge of Abu Talib the 3-year siege imposed on the Bani Hashim clan by the infidels of Mecca, risking his life to procure grains for the besieged new Muslim community. When plots were hatched to extinguish the light of prophethood, the brave Ali, peace upon him, volunteered to sleep on his cousin's bed so that the latter could migrate to Medina undetected. The reward for his self-sacrifice, to which Islam will forever remain indebted, came in the form of Ayah 207 of Surah Baqarah, which reads, "Among men is he who sells his soul for the pleasure of Allah." Amir al-Mu'minin and Imam al-Muttaqin, which means Commander of the True Believers and Leader of the God-weary, volumes have been written on the merits of Imam Ali, peace upon him, by eminent scholars in every age and era. The famous 11th century CE Sunni historian Ibn Asakir writes in his Tariq Dimashq that the Holy Quran contains not less than 300 ayahs revealed by God on the merits of Imam Ali, peace upon him. The Mu'tazilite scholar Ibn Abul Hadid writes in his preface to his voluminous commentary on Nahjul Balagha, or Highway of Eloquence, which is the collection of the sermons, letters, and aphorisms of Imam Ali, peace upon him, "The physical prowess of Imam Ali, peace upon him, was well known. He was the one who lifted the gate of the fortress of Khaybar, while a whole group of the troops could not take it back to its place. He was the one who threw down the huge idol of Hubal from the top of the Kaaba to the ground. It was the one who lifted up a huge rock with his hands, while a spring gushed forth beneath it. Ibn Abdelhadid further writes, "What can I say about the man whose enemies grudgingly acknowledge his virtues, since they could not deny or hide them? Indeed, the Umayyad clan seized power of the Islamic realm from the east to the west and tried to extinguish the light of the glory of Imam Ali, peace upon him, by using all tricks. They fabricated many hadith, cursed him from pulpits, threatened his admirers, killed his followers, and banned them from quoting any hadith that implied his virtues or promoted his name. They even forbade the naming of children as Ali. All these attempts, however, resulted in nothing except the exaltation of his glory. He could be compared to musk. The more of it that is secreted, the more it sweetens the air. Is the origin of every human virtue and excellence, to whom every school and group trace their origin and find honor. He is the origin of all excellencies and surpasses all others, and is the pioneer of all arenas." Imam Ali, peace upon him, as the epitome of justice, continues to transcend history and all historical developments, and has left lasting statements of guidance for all humanity, whether Muslim or not, as is evident by the tribute paid to him by the Arab Christian scholar George Jordaq, who has written several volumes, comparing the Imam's excellence over philosophers, the beginning from the Greeks and up to the French Revolution. He calls him the voice of human justice. A paragraph from this book reads, "Imam Ali, peace upon him, formulated such firm rules and presented such solid views for the rights of the human beings and the welfare of the human society that their roots penetrate into the depths of the earth, and the branches extend up to the heavens. All the social sciences, which are prevalent at present, mostly confirm these views and principles. Although these modern social sciences may be given many names and may be presented in various forms, their object is one and one only, that the human being should be protected from oppression, and there should be formed a society which should protect human rights in a better way, a society in which human dignity should be respected and the freedom of word and action should be safe to such an extent that none should be hurt. Imam Ali, peace upon him, had clearly understood that it will be very dangerous to divide the people into two classes and to prefer one of them to the other. This will retard the intellects, create malice in the spirits, and introduce oppression and injustice in the judgments and transactions, and all sorts of mischiefs and corruptions will appear. The result will be that enthusiasm for life will die and people will become pessimistic and will entertain ill will towards one another. Consequently, the society will be ruined so long as these two classes exist in a society. A conflict between them is inevitable and it will involve the loss of many lives." To end this brief radio program, here is a passage from the famous epistle of Imam Ali, peace upon him, to his governor of the then Christian majority Egypt, Malik Ashtar, on the norms of good government. Habituate your heart to mercy for your subjects and to affection and kindness for them. Do not stand over them like greedy beasts who feel as though they should devour them. They, your subjects, are of two kinds, either your brother in religion or like you in creation. Dear listeners, once again, we congratulate you on the birthday of the person who, when he once saw an old Christian begging on the streets, had pension fixed for him from the public treasury after admonishing officials for leaving even a non-Muslim destitute after he had worked all his life. Before we bid you goodbye, here is a wonderful saying from Imam Ali, peace upon him, which shows his absolute cognizance of God Almighty. By Allah, even if I am given all the domains of the seven stars with all that exists under the skies in order that I may disobey Allah to the extent of snatching one grain of barley from an ant, I would not do it. For me, your world is lighter than the leaf in the mouth of a locust that is chewing it. What has Ali to do with bounties that will pass away and pleasures that will not last? We do seek protection of Allah from the sleep of wisdom and the evils of mistakes, and from Him we seek succor. Thank you.